Hello and welcome to yet another session, and this is where today's topic is really super awesome, brilliant topic which we are going to discuss. So sometime back I saw a chart, a very simple chart on social media, just came on my WhatsApp, and I was just looking at it and the curiosity arised. So there was this chart where parameters or the returns of different companies were mentioned. So first of all, the first company is Cox & Kings. From its probably all-time high, the downfall is 99.4%. So it has fallen from its all-time high to 99.4%. Okay, Talwarkars fell by 99%. Gitanjali Gems 98.99%. Reliance Home Finance 97% fall. Reliance Capital around 97% fall. Yes Bank around 97% fall. Kridhan Infra around 96% fall. Sikkal Logistics around 95% fall. Syntex Industry, and probably now it is also going into NCLT bankruptcy, it'll go to zero probably. Jet Airways, GVK Power, Jain Irrigation, Reliance Communication, Reliance Power, PC Jeweler. So all these companies, you know, they somehow were destroying wealth to a great extent, and that is where I thought, you know, why not think about this, where I can share exactly what are the patterns that actually impact all these companies. So what is so much common between all these companies? What are those patterns? Because if we are able to find out those patterns, then we can avoid these kind of companies in future, and that is where we can avoid wealth destruction, right? So if you are ready for this, let's dive into this session, and I'm sure this is going to be super interesting. Awesome. So let's go to the different points now. I'll go with the three concepts first, why it is important to study, and why are we studying this as a topic in today's particular presentation. So let's go with the first point in terms of concept, that first of all, investing is all about avoiding serious mistakes, because if you avoid mistakes, then rest of the things gets taken care of, right? As Charlie Munger says, invert, always invert. If you want to make big returns, what you should do is you should avoid big mistakes or serious mistakes that can, you know, take you out of the game. Second, as Warren Buffett has also said, never lose money. Capital protection is always the key. So first, think about capital protection and then think about anything else. So it is very, very important to have kind of no-fault rules. Build the rules which are like no-fault rules, that I'll not cross this line. It is just like Lakshman Rekha, that, you know, because all these patterns have emerged, I'll not cross this Lakshman Rekha. And that is what even John Bogle has said. Investing is not nearly as difficult as it looks. Successful investing involves doing a few things right and avoiding serious mistakes. The last part is very, very important. Avoiding serious mistakes which can blow you off, which can take you out of the game. So that is why today's topic, whatever we are discussing, is very, very important, very, very critical in your investing journey. So protection of capital is of utmost importance, and even Warren Buffett has said, you know, return of capital is always more important than return on capital. Rule number one is never lose money. Rule number two, don't forget rule number one. And even Charlie Munger has said, right, all I want to know is where I'm going to die. So I'll never go there. Because if you know what are the patterns of wealth destruction, you don't need to actually pee yourself on the electric fence to learn not to do it. And that is where all these lessons of the history, whatever we are studying, is very, very important, critical, and it is going to help you in your investing journey. So I'll share five such principles which will help you in your journey, and hopefully all of you are ready and very, very focused. If you are focused, just type focused in the comment box. So first is high leverage or overconfidence, or probably both. So what first pattern I see in most of these companies, if you go back to the list which I've shared, most of them are financials which are predominantly leveraged. So if you think about DHFL, or if you think about Yes Bank, or Reliance Home Finance, all these companies are predominantly into banking or NBFC sectors, which are predominantly leveraged, right? Their business itself is working on leverage. So that is where, if you are able to avoid companies with high leverage, the most of the part of your work is actually done. Okay. And what are the things where you can analyze that whether there is high leverage or there is a problem in this these kind of businesses? Is first you look at low interest coverage ratio. So if the interest coverage ratio is very low, you basically get alerted. High debt to equity ratio, like compared to equity, there is 2x, 3x, 4x, 5x kind of leverage debt, then this is a problem. And a lot of time I've seen that promoter pledging is also an issue. So promoters will actually pledge their own shares, and that is a big, big red flag. If it is like once in a while and for genuine reason and very small portion, that's still sometimes fine. You have to, of course, go deeper into it. But if it is like predominantly there, so then it is a big, big red sign, right? So the first point is high leverage. Just note it down. Now let's come to the second point. Second point is very, very important, which is bad sector. So the sector itself could be a problematic sector, and you might be ruined in that particular sector if you are not doing a calculated bet or you are not being careful over there. So as I said, first thing, avoid leverage, avoid companies with very high debt. And I've also shared an Excel template sometime back on my YouTube channel also. There is a full-fledged video. But all these ratios which I'll be talking, some of these are already covered into this. So if you go to that Excel, there is all these ratios like interest coverage ratio, then there is a ratio on debt to equity. All these ratios, will be very, very helpful to you if you want to analyze it. So towards the end, probably I'll share, the link of this Excel also if you want to download and check it out. And there is a video also which I've created. It is called Fundamental Analysis of Stock Using Excel Screener. So you can later on check it out on my YouTube channel, and you'll find how to use this template and what all things you can go deeper, because today I'll be just be specific on the topic of today. So today's topic is more around how you can avoid these patterns. But there are a lot of things on the positive side also, that how you can be finding good companies, how to analyze growth, what are different things you should take care. All those things are anyways very, very important. Okay, so let's move forward into the second point, which I mentioned. The second point is very, very critical again, is a bad sector. Okay, so what are the traits of this bad sector? Let's go into that. So some sectors predominantly have problem. So the sector dynamics itself are not very great. Like if you see infra sector in India, there are a lot of cash transactions and all those things happens there. Then if you see airline sector, the airline sector itself is a sector where it requires high capex and the odds of success are very, very low. So most of the airline companies in the world have not survived well, or they have not made good shareholder returns. Okay, and they operate at a low ROE, low ROC. Again, these all things I have covered in the Excel template also. So there is return on average equity. If it is less than 15, generally it's a problem. Return on capital employed. And I also have some graphs where you can see the trend of all these ratios. Okay, so that is where, the sector itself might be a problematic sector. Or there could be a time where the entire sector is undergoing severe stress, like during COVID time, say hotel sector or restaurants or even real estate sector went into too much of trouble. So you need to see that when the tailwinds are coming, when the tailwinds are emerging, only then you enter those sectors. So it's all about probability and improving odds. If you are able to avoid a sector which is in high probability a wealth destroyer, even one or two companies could be great over there, like companies like Indigo in India, they are doing pretty awesome, although their return ratios are not that great how I would like to expect. But if you compare it with other airlines in the world or even Indian airlines, The you know, kind of operations which they do is quite phenomenal. But still, you know, if the entire sector has low odds of giving shareholder returns, then why to even go there? That's the whole point which I'm trying to convey you, that if there is something really problematic, then why to go there? Another thing on leverage, which I don't want to stress enough, is, you know, at the end of the day, for investing, it is peaceful sleep which is important. So make sure that you don't do F&O intraday. Again, you know, as you know, Warren Buffett has also said, derivatives are financial weapons of mass destruction. And I've seen people who are profitable, but the odds are really not in your favor. Like 1 or 2% of people are actually profitable in derivatives and intraday. So why to play that game where you are not having that kind of high probability of success? Okay, so I keep emphasizing this enough. And let's move to the third point. Now, the third point, very important, is what you say, earnings growth. Right, so growth is everything, guys. So first of all, of course, high leverage you need to take care of. The sector should be good, it should have good tailwinds, and then the growth is very, very important, because if growth is not there, again, there will not be wealth creation. Of course, sometimes you will not undergo wealth destruction, but at least the wealth creation would you know, not happen in a positive way. Okay, so that is where we'll jump into the next particular point, which is on the wealth side, how you can create that earnings growth engine for yourself and you can compound. Okay, so here are the points for this third topic or third point. First is, don't look at PE in isolation. There is also a video like why low PE you know, doesn't mean it is a great company or a value buy. Even I've written a thread on my Twitter handle. By the way, if you are not following me on Twitter, you can check it out. Like, my Twitter handle is @MashraniVivek. So you can connect with me on Twitter and we can stay connected. You can ask me questions if you want to. But there I've created a full thread, and probably you will find it in the pinned thread also, that why low PE is not always, you know, correct way to go about it, right? So that is where a lot of, you know, people get into trap. So focus on future growth. And sometimes people also, you know, just look at these kind of Excel. Of course, this is important. But then, you know, you just look at historical growth and everything, like great company in the past, but something might change. Like, say, for example, a DVD making company last 2010 to 2005 might be looking great, but after 2010, probably pen drive came in and the business model went for a toss. Like Kodak went for a toss, Nokia went for a toss. So of course, looking at history is very, very important so that you avoid all these traps and everything. But you need to also look at the future, like what is there in the future and how it is panning out. So that is where it will give you the idea of future growth. So focus on future growth and demarcate companies. Like, there are different kind of companies. There are companies which are slow grower, 4 to 6% kind of growth. There are companies which are stalwarts, which are, you know, Nestle, TCS, Infosys kind of company, which is like almost saturated. Their growth is like 10, 15, 20% now. And then there are a lot of companies which are fast growers, which are, you know, growing at much, much higher rate. So, you know, they are probably growing at like 20-25%. And among that, there are also cyclicals, turnaround kind of companies also. So cyclicals and turnaround, you need to be very, very careful. Okay, so I generally don't prefer these kind of companies in my core portfolio because they are not long-term wealth generator. Okay, they'll give exponential return for like 2 to 4 years, and then again it will go back to the same thing. And I use something called a stage analysis. Like, even in my investing community, I make them do this entire stage analysis. I have a concept called hackathon, which is more like an implementation program in my community. And even for all these categories, I have actually, you know, categorize these into different things, like bamboo, which is like fast growing, then stalwarts are like more of a continuous compounding at a decent rate, which is more like a banyan tree. Slow grower with high ROC is more like mango tree. So I've classified them into different tree structures also when I teach my community members. So that is how you need to play these in satellite. So I demarcate my portfolio into core and satellite. Core is where it is debt-free company, usually high ROE, high ROC, less element of cyclicity, you know, big long-term mega trends in place, good sector tailwinds. But then if I want to play cyclicals, I know this is where I'm playing and it is a risk and there is like, low probability of success if it doesn't go right. So what I do is I average up as I get succeed, and I also have a, you know, exit strategy. So that is very important because terminal value is the key. So even Utpal Sheth has said this, terminal value is the key, and I cannot stress this enough. Okay, so this is where you need to understand the entire game and know that there is no big terminal value and you need to be protected. Now, one more interesting thing here is on cockroach. Okay, what is cockroach effect? So, you know, Warren Buffett has rightly said that there is seldom just one cockroach in the kitchen. You know, you turn on the light and all of a sudden, all start screwing around. Okay, so there is seldom just one cockroach. Okay, so usually all these patterns which we'll be talking usually go hand in hand. So sometimes, you know, the leverage will not be alone. There is a fundamental reason why there will be leverage. Okay, so that is where, you know, this particular concept is very, very important, where you need to understand that there is never one single cockroach in a place. Okay, so you need to find what are the reasons, what are the connections. Probably if it is a high leverage company, the business model is not right. Probably the promoter, ethics is not right. Sometimes maybe, you know, there is some kind of corporate governance. Maybe the sector itself is bad. And that is where we are coming to the fourth point, which is on accounting red flags. There are a lot of times manipulations that are being done by a lot of these companies. Okay, and we need to be careful around these manipulations. What are these manipulations? Let's try to understand this particular aspect, because a lot of time, you know, people just think that it is just bad sector, but sometimes it is so much of manipulation that is going on in these kind of companies. So first, watch out for high receivables. You know, if the company is having high receivables, that is a problem. There are frequent changes in terms of auditors, again a red flag. Relationship between management and auditor is strained. You know, there are a lot of warnings it is giving. You know, sometimes even there are frequent resignations of CFOs. Like if you see Manpasand Beverages, Gitanjali Gems, all these things happened. You know, executives exit, CFOs resign. All these things are very, very critical point, and you should consider these as a red flags. Now, there are also instances where there is continuous increase in receivable. Why this is done? So what happens is, probably the business genuinely itself is bad, where they are not having good terms, the industry itself is bad. But sometimes, you know, they just book false revenue or business, and then, you know, they are not receiving any money because these are all fake bills which are created to just jack up the, you know, sales. But then in the cash flow, nothing is coming. And that is where even in my Excel, I have this ratio which I have built in, which is conversion of, PAT to cash flow from operating activities, because cash flow is real. And, PAT can be inflated by, you know, accounting manipulation. So that is where, you know, you see the ratio of CFO to PAT, and it should be at least 80% over a cycle. Like here, you know, if you see example of Rolta India, you can just download my Excel and then see the example of Rolta India. And you will see like it is minus 55%. You know, the cash is gayab basically. Okay, so that is where you need to be very, very careful that what is happening. And a lot of time they also do false capex, like they just put money here and there, and it's just not going anywhere. Like even in Treehouse, if you see Treehouse, what was happening, they were having so many red flags. Some of these auditors had a questionable report in their you know audit report that there was a furniture of 179 crores which was bought in a single year, and cumulative purchase in the entire history of that company was 189 crore. So that itself says that, you know, that boss, there is something wrong, and the debtor days or the receivables were increasing. Now, you know, something like Treehouse, which is into kids education, a lot of times, you know, they take freeze upfront. Then do schools give you credit, like give money after 1 year, after taking your school to the kid, after 1 year you pay us? Doesn't happen, right? So you have to, you know, cross check all these things. And even in the Excel, I've covered all these ratios. So if you go into ratios analysis, you will see debtor days, whether it is increasing or not, what is happening with the different kind of receivables. Everything is covered over here. Receivable days, net fixed asset turnover. This is also very, very important. Okay, so all these things you have to just monitor and see. Like even in Shilpi Cables, there were a lot of receivables which were jacking up. Short-term borrowings was going up. Long-term borrowing was going up. Okay. So this is where, you know, they probably are siphoning. Even, the, you know, capex, you need to benchmark the capex with other companies. Even you have to see asset turnover ratio. You know, sometimes it could be like a case of Rolta. They were just falsely, you know, buying all these assets and computers, and the fixed asset turnover was much, much lesser than the peers. Okay. So this is where the net fixed asset turnover, when you benchmark it with the industry, it will help you. Like in case of Rolta, it was like 0.5x, 0.6x, 0.4x, 0.3x, 0.3x. And if you see other, you know, industry people, like NIIT had, you know, 1/10 of the spending. Mindtree had 1/50 of spending. Right. So once you benchmark with other peers, you will understand that something is going wrong. And this is where it is very, very interesting for you to study all these things. And that is where I've comprehensively made this Excel template so that, you know, it's all in one place. And if you want to download this Excel, it is just simple. Just go to this web address, technofunda.co/Excel. Okay, so that is where you will be able to download it, and you can use this in, as a like checklist, so that you know you are not having any kind of trouble getting into all these traps. Okay, because once you avoid all these traps, the profitability will start happening automatically. Okay, so that is where it is happening, and let's go to the next concept. Okay, so now one more very, very critical point is this. Okay, let me just share it with you. So the next point which I want to discuss is called bad capital allocation. Okay, so sometimes genuinely the company is good. Okay, so the company is doing good, but probably the promoters are not having right sense of capital allocation. That is very, very important. So sometimes they just get into some kind of M&A or acquisition, which doesn't make sense. Like even Tata Steel, they bought Corus and it was a huge mistake. Even Novelties that time, you know, they acquired a aluminium company and it was a very, very pathetic decision. So a lot of time, although companies are doing good in standalone, but they take debt to fund some acquisition and they get into trouble. And sometimes even companies diversify into low ROCE businesses, like ITC, they diversify into hotel business. Does it make sense for them? Probably not, right? It's a very low ROCE business. And sometimes they just do unnecessary capex, and most of the times it's again red flag, because they might want to siphon the fund, just like how I mentioned the case of Rolta India. Okay, so that is where it is very, very important to focus on all these five points. Now, what as an investor we need to do? Okay, so these are all things which we need to avoid, but suppose by mistake we landed up there, what we should do as an investor? Okay, so first, you should have a process to let your winners run, because sometimes genuinely the business model has changed from structural model to, you know, bad model. Like Maruti, it was a great structural company, but with EV disruption, it is again reinventing itself. Same way Kodak was a great company at one point of time, then it had to reinvent itself. And same way, you know, Nokia was a great company at one point of time, but then it went into bankruptcy. So you need to have a process where you let your winners run. And if you see there are some kind of trouble in your portfolio, you should have a exit process. Okay, that is very, very important. And always you should monitor risk. Like when I also had an interview with Mark Minervini, this was a key point which he mentioned, that always respect risk. Okay, so always respect risk in your journey and understand this math of recovery. Okay, so if you are down 5%, you need to come back 5% up if you want to recover your losses. But if you are down like 20%, you need to come back 25%. If you are down 50%, you need to increase by 100%. And if you are down 90%, you have to do 900% just to break even, right? Not a lot of people get this math, but this is very, very important math in your investing journey. So minimize your drawdowns, have exit process in place, and kind of follow this checklist. Okay, so find companies which are having excellent growth, having good ROCE, which are reinvesting their cash flows with good ROE, having minimal debt or no debt ideally, have a reasonable valuation with longevity of growth and robust business model with good capable management and capital allocation. That is what is the, you know, triangulation theory of all these things. And just to summarize, what you need to follow, key takeaways from this particular session, is stay away from leverage in your core portfolio. Stay away from highly cyclical companies for your long-term core portfolio. If you want to play it, just play it in your satellite portfolio. Have a system to do your basic accounting checks, and my Excel will be very helpful over there. And then learn about financial statements. So some people who are not aware about financial statements, I've seen a lot of those guys getting into trouble. Okay, so learn about financial statements and have exit strategy in place. When in doubt, get out, because you don't need to be there. If you feel like there is something fishy over there, kuch to gadbad hai daya, get out. And focus on return per unit stress. That is where, you know, not doing F&O and intraday is much, much peaceful way of your investing. Right, so these are like key points, I think, which you should understand and cover. And hopefully this entire session was very useful. If you are not following me, you can follow me on my Twitter handle, Vivek Mashrani. Mashrani Vivek is my Twitter handle, and I'm Vivek Mashrani here. And yeah, if you are not checked out my website, you can go to vivekmashrani.com, check out my website. And of course, if you want to check it out my YouTube channel, just go and like and subscribe. If you like this entire podcast, just hit a like button if you are watching it from YouTube. If you are listening on podcast or anywhere else, just let me know how you felt about it. So that's it from my end. And finally, you know, if you want to check it out, the entire process, how I do in terms of investing, you can just go to this link, technofunda.co/live. And you can understand the entire process, how I think about portfolio allocation in terms of core and satellite, how I have my entire buying, adding and selling strategies, and how I manage my risk at an overall portfolio level. Okay, so that's it from my end, guys. Thank you so much for listening and being here. Again, we'll look forward to connecting with you in the next session. Till then, bye-bye and take care. God bless.